we Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
I have my doubts in the system, and I have my doubts in our God.
How often do you hear people express profound misgivings, even now today? I don't know if it's always been this way, but I've noticed over the course of my last 25 years of Christian ministry as a pastor, that questions that people had, they may have been quiet about it before, I don't know, but they're far more troubled by them, far more willing to raise them, serious misgivings about the Christian faith. And a lot of those misgivings come from the claims of science. They just read the latest book or the latest article or watched the latest show on the Discovery Channel, and they come to pastors, they come to fellow Christians, seriously troubled. Am I really believing the truth when I believe what the Bible says, over against many of the claims, some of them credible, some of them less credible, of science and its many authorities? Joining us for part four of our series on Christianity and science today, we'll talk about doubt, science, and scripture. Pastor Charles St. Ange, he's ethnic mission developer for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He has a bachelor's degree of applied science and engineering and a master of science degree. He's author of the Issues Etc. book of the month for September, Five Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. Charles, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Does it surprise you that many people have and are increasingly expressing doubts about the beliefs of the Christian faith precisely because of the claims of science?
It doesn't surprise me for two good reasons, one scriptural and one just using basic common sense. Maybe we'll take the common sense one first. Human beings are very sheep-like. I mean, the Bible's very clear on that. That's the metaphor that's used for us over and over again, that we are sheep. And that means that we tend to like to follow the herd. We don't tend to like to blaze our own trail. Humans who do like to blaze their own trail, who stand out, are very unique, and that's why they stand out. So if we are surrounded by people that believe one thing, and that one thing is very much opposed to what we have been taught to believe, it is going to make us profoundly uncomfortable. And I think that's one of the just common sense reasons why we question our faith. I don't think that that's unique to our day and age. It's certainly not unique to our place. It happens in lots of other places around the world where you're confronted with a belief system that's opposed to your own, especially if it seems to be one that the people in power subscribe to and it seems to work. From a scriptural perspective, it doesn't surprise me either, because we don't want to hear what God has to say to us. By nature, we're born into the world as people that neither know God or love God or trust God. And so if a system comes along and says, here's how it is, and it's opposed to a system that says there's a God, and he's created us, and he loves us, and this is his plan, and this is his revelation, we're going to be always sort of torn to head towards the system that allows us to indulge in this lack of love of God and lack of trust. So I think there are two reasons why we continue to have people that really, really struggle with what they believe.
You say it actually is a kind of a worldview debate. Worldviews, that belief systems is another way of talking about a worldview. And it's not unique and it's not new. The example you use is the famous story from the Old Testament of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Tell us that story as a worldview debate.
Well, the way I tell it in the book is first of all, from the Old Testament perspective, as we have it in the scriptures, and then I kind of turn it around to force people to think about why this science and scripture debate is so serious. As we have the account in scripture, we have the prophets of Baal, which just means the master, who are sort of overwhelming the handful of people left in Israel who are still worshiping the Lord. And prophet Elijah basically challenges the prophets of Baal to a confrontation. He says, let's go up Mount Carmel out on the coast. We're each going to get a bull. You call on your God to consume the bull in fire, and I'm going to call on the Lord to do the same. And whichever one consumes the bull, you know, you're going to be forced with a decision then. Are you going to keep following this master, even though everyone else is, or are you going to follow the Lord? And as the story turns out, the prophets of Baal, despite all of their attempts, can't get Baal to consume his sacrifice. Elijah, on the other hand, douses his bowl with water, sort of nonchalantly looks at the crowd and says, you know, well, maybe Baal was just sleeping, but let's see if the Lord has power. And sure enough, the Lord consumes the sacrifice offered by Elijah. So the worldview of believing that the Lord is the true God wins. Most people in our scientific kind of Western world really now take on the role of Elijah in their mind. They look at we Christians as the ones who are calling out to God for help. Sometimes he helps, sometimes he doesn't. Especially think of all the faith healers we have around us. Sometimes people are healed by prayer, sometimes they're not. It doesn't seem to really make a difference. On the other hand, science can create a heat gun and cook the bull right there on the side of the mountain and be done with it. And they know that the heat gun will always work every single time. So that's another source of doubt for us, is we constantly have people that are coming to us and saying, what difference does your God make? Look at our God of science. Look what science can do. What has your God done for you lately? And that really is a problem of theology. If we don't have our theology straight, if we don't really understand what God is telling us about himself in the scriptures and his revelation of himself in Jesus, and really know the gospels well, we'll fall for this. But if we know the Gospels well and we know how God works in the world, we're not going to see these things as competing, as a competition that, you know, well, science can create iPods and iPhones and God doesn't. Well, no, it's the fact that there is a God allows us to use technology and create technology. What do we expect God to do? We expect God to give us a purpose in life and explain why the world is in such terrible shape and promise us deliverance in Christ. And they're two very different things.
Pastor Charles St. Ange is our guest. It's part four of our series on Christianity and science today. We're talking about doubts, science, and scripture. He'll be with us for another 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. Feel free to send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Does your belief in God and His Word mean that you need to reject all of science? Is there a faithful way to integrate science and faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. You can purchase this $5 book by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon. It's the 17th of September. Pastor Charles St. Ange is our guest, part 4 of our series on Christianity and Science. Today we're talking about doubt, science, and Scripture. Pastor St. Ange is ethnic mission developer for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has a bachelor's degree of applied science and engineering, a master's of science degree, and author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. Now, you said this before the break, and I want to emphasize it because it's easy to say, well, you know, I believe everything the Bible has to say. The questions raised by science do not trouble me. My experience here, Pastor St. Ange, is, and I tend to be kind of an avid reader in pop science, and there's a lot of that out there. You can read most of it's way over my head, but I like reading it nonetheless. It is challenging. The claims there are not only bold, they are often claimed as fact. But even if they weren't, it is challenging. Should the Christian who delves into these things, who researches these things, simply expect to be challenged at the very least, if not thrown into doubt?
I think that's a very good point. I think we should expect to be challenged, but I think that shouldn't trouble us at the same time. I think if we hope that somehow we will be able to live our lives in this world without ever being challenged, we've probably misread Jesus' promises and claims. In the very Last Supper, according to John, afterwards, when he's speaking with disciples, he tells them that in this world you will have tribulation. You're going to have people coming at you. And all of that is said in the context of what the disciples are about to experience, which is the crucifixion of their Lord, that this is what happens when God comes in to address the problems of a sinful world. His own son is killed. And so we will have trouble. We're going to read things that are going to fly in the face of what God is telling us. But that shouldn't drive us to despair. It should lead us into a place where we want to be even more certain of the belief that we have. There are, at the same time as there's even more media promoting a false view of the world under the guise of science, and we've talked about that before, the difference between true operational science and historical science. At the same time, on the other side, there are more and more Christians who, using their worldview, are looking at nature and looking at the universe and examining it and finding that the biblical worldview is, in fact, very sound, that what Scripture tells us in Genesis 1 through 11 is, in fact, an accurate description of the history of Earth. and the history of the human race. So it's a double-edged sword. At one time, we can pick up Popular Mechanics and Scientific American and read things that might really trouble us. But at the same time, there's been a flowering of good operational science done from a Christian worldview that buttresses our understanding of Scripture and interprets the world through the lens of Scripture and finds that it can be interpreted and give us very accurate answers.
All of that said, and I wholeheartedly concur, should the Christian have the expectation that if he just reads the right book, if he just finds the right article, if he consults the right apologist, whatever it may be, that every question raised by science with respect to the Christian faith or every alternate idea or theory that challenges the Christian faith will be answered, sewn up, and locked down airtight?
No, because even science doesn't operate that way. If you read a scientific article that begins with the phrase, science has proven, one way or the other, you probably have an article that has a problem. Science can't necessarily prove everything, especially the area that is most in conflict with our beliefs is the past, things that have happened in the past. And so the thing that we need to be reading if we want to be sure of our faith is Scripture. Scripture is going to continue to build up the certainty of our faith because it's through Scripture that the Lord speaks to us. So if we think that we're going to go out there and be able to find sort of an airtight scientific proof for Christianity, we aren't, because we are so fallen as a human race that even the old Adam that clings to Christians is always going to raise some question. Say, well, you've read that, but didn't you just read this other article the other day? And the only antidote to that is the Word of God. That there is no antidote out there in another place, because nothing can trump God's word.
Why do you say that it's so important to just, when the doubt arises, to not only acknowledge that it's there, but actually to name it, to say, this is the thing I have a doubt about?
Well, one of the areas of that Christians are delving into in terms of science that I find truly fascinating is the area of information theory. Which is, where does information come from? Where does knowledge come from? Because knowledge is not matter. It's not energy. I mean, E equals MC squared does not include some constant for information. So what is God's word if not truly information? And then if we look at the role of the demons in Scripture, we often think of the demonic as being some kind of a supernatural actor in the world. By supernatural, I'm using the colloquial cultural way of thinking of that, vampires and werewolves and dramatic appearances. But if you really read Scripture very closely, what the demonic always does is presents false information. It comes and it tells us things that are not true. That's what the serpent did in the garden with Adam and Eve. Did God really say? And so by naming doubts and by confronting them and acknowledging them, we're taking away Satan's primary tool, which is to create doubt in the minds of the faithful. That doesn't mean we become sort of pie-in-the-sky people and saying, well, I'm just not going to listen to you. If you look at Luther, whenever he was confronted by doubts and confronted by Satan, he named it for what it was, and he returned wholeheartedly to the Word of God and returned to his study. And when he did that, he found that Satan lost his hold over him and the demonic lost their hold over them. And I think that's a way that the demonic is really at work in the Western world, is by sowing and increasing false information, things that simply aren't true.
Someone might not consider this to be the first place to go, and maybe it might not be the best place to go and stay, but should a Christian say, look, here's the doubts that I have based upon the kind of layperson's knowledge of the science, so to speak, I'm going to delve deeper into the science and see whether or not it really does support the doubt that I have. In other words, really know what it is that's raising the doubts for you.
I think as long as you always ask the question, how do you know that when you're doing readings? I often tell teenagers, and I've been going around the country in the last few months, presenting on the idea of science and Scripture, that what we need more than anything right now is Christian skeptics. We need Christians who can read the scientific literature with a skeptical mind and ask the question, how do you really know that? Because just because you wear a white lab coat when you go to work, or you're a scientist, or you have a science degree, and that goes for me too, doesn't mean that you are some kind of supernatural authority on things. Scientists make mistakes. Engineers make mistakes. We tend to get wrapped up in what we're doing, and we start spouting knowledge that might have come to us on authority, but that we've never really investigated. So read articles and ask the question, how does this person know that? If a claim is being made and you're sort of scratching your head and saying, well, is that really, really true? Because that isn't what Scripture teaches. Then ask the question, how does the scientist know that? And a lot of the time you'll discover when you investigate that they are presupposing something that they don't actually know. They haven't observed it, but it's something that they have to accept on faith in order to make the other statements they're about to make in the article prove true.
With only 30 seconds, should pastors be better educated to be able to walk their people through these doubts?
I think pastors have to know something about this. I think we wouldn't want to send a missionary to India who had no knowledge of Hinduism. And so I think we need pastors in the Western world who understand enough about science that they can see where the obstacles are and know where to point people in the direction to learn more.
Pastor Charles St. Hodge is ethnic mission developer for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He has a bachelor's degree of applied science and engineering and a master of science degree. He's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for September, Five Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. It's a basis for the series that we've been doing with him. If you want to find out more, this book is both affordable and I highly recommend it. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor St. Ange will be back with us on Thursday this week to respond to any of your questions or your comments about science and Scripture. Charles, thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time rounding off this first hour of Issues, Etc. this Tuesday afternoon, talking about the doomsday preppers. They have survival shelters, they have food stashed away, guns, water, places for their families to go when the big day arrives. And why is this kind of practice so popular among Christians? We'll answer those questions with Robert Velarde after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bonterre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.